Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
They witness against thee. But Jesus answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now in that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whosoever they desired. Verse 7, the Bible says, and there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy, but the chief priests moved the people, that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. Verse 14, then Pilate said unto them, why? What evil hath he done? They cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him, to be crucified. And the soldiers led away into the hall called Praetorium, and they came together, the whole band, verse 17, and then they clothed him with purple, and platted a crown of thorns, and put it upon his head, about his head, and began to salute him, hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. Verse 20, and when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, and put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. Verse 21, they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place, Golgotha, which is being interpreted, the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with vinegar, but he received it not. When they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of the accusation that was written over, the King of the Jews. But I want us to call to remembrance tonight is, if I had to put a title on it, Watch the Lamb. Watch the Lamb. Father, Lord, I bow before you tonight. God, I ask you to please calm my nerves. God, I ask you, Lord, to please use me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Lord, I pray you use me as your vessel. Use me, Lord, as your voice. God, I pray, Lord, for just a few minutes we'd watch the Lamb. God, that we would remember, Lord, how good you've been to us. God, we remember what this week means to us, God, as the Holy Week or Jesus Week or whatever we'd like to call it. God, what this week means to us Christians. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that Sunday's coming. God, I praise you and I thank you. I ask you to help us tonight. Speak to us through your word. We love you. Thank you so much for loving us. Of course, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we read Mark 15, there's several events that lead up to this crucifixion that play a vital role in this story. In Mark chapter 13, Jesus is still teaching and warning the disciples of the days to come. He begins to warn them of false prophets professing to be him and great days of tribulation ahead, and even the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. But then the latter part of chapter 13, Jesus gives them the parable of the fig tree. It warns them and he says, watch ye lest ye be caught sleeping. And today I'm going to warn you, many, many sleep. But he says, watch ye lest ye be caught sleeping. Now coming into chapter 14, the Bible says, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover. The Passover was to commemorate the divine deliverance of the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and Egyptian slavery. A lamb was slain as a sacrifice in the place of their sins, also calling that remembrance to the blood of the lamb smeared along the doorpost at the death, as the death angel passed by back in that day. Isn't it ironic how we find chapter 14 and we go into chapter 15 and you find the chief priests and the scribes and they begin to say, hey, this is not how you do it. This is not him. And they had the lamb right in front of them. And they begin to say, this is not how you do it. This is not him. This is, we understand the Passover way better than you do. And they sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. These are the same people that only a few days before watched Jesus ride in on a colt whereon never man had sat and threw down their garments, cut down palm branches, crying, Hosanna, blessed be the King, blessed be the Lord, Hosanna in the highest, only a couple days before. But as you and I both know the story, that changes very drastically here pretty soon. You know the rest of the story. Jesus in chapter 14 and going into chapter 15 begins to continue his journey, and he's out preaching and he's teaching, and he comes to dine with some fellow friends. And these friends probably will bring to remembrance who they are. You've probably heard them before. As he comes to dine with Mary and Martha and a man named Lazarus. And John said that Martha served him at the table and Lazarus sat with him ready to eat. But Mary in all of her Lord says, y'all can have the food. I'd rather have the fellowship. And it brought that precious box of ointment, that alabaster box. She probably didn't even realize it. She brought it in there and she break that over Jesus. Probably didn't realize, boy, she was anointing her lamb. Watch the lamb. She anointed her lamb and didn't even realize, but she wanted that quality time with her Lord. About that time, Judas, as you all know, begins to pipe up, pretending and thinking and acting as if he cared about poor people. Judas pipes up and rebukes her in the act, and Jesus says, yeah, Judas, well, that's spoken like a true thief. Let her alone. I won't be here forever, but this act that she's done toward me in time will be preserved throughout history. You know, you read of this as Mary broke that box, you read of that as preserved through history, Jesus' words. And we're sitting here today talking about what she did. In a time where he should have been enjoying the moment, Judas meets the religious crowd, seeking how they may conveniently betray him. Let me say to you for a moment, the betrayal of Jesus Christ may seem convenient to you right now, but in the end, there is certain eternal destruction. He thought it was convenient. The chief priest, as they gathered in 14, thought, we'll get him at a convenient time. We'll get him at a time to where we can sneak up on him, if you will. They knew that they're still in this time, as we're coming through Sunday of Palm Sunday, if you will, and Monday and Tuesday. They know they're still of this time to where he's got enough following now, and he's still popular enough that we don't want to take him just now. Boy, what does that sound like to me? A bunch of cowards. So they make it a more convenient time for themselves to take our Savior. The betrayal of Jesus may seem convenient now, but the end is destruction. Boys and girls, men and women, consider the cost of that convenience. Because Judas thought he had it all. He thought he had it covered. When all was said and done, he paid the price, not even be able to live with himself anymore. There's always a price to that convenience. Jesus later gives commandments to his disciples as we go throughout the story, and we're catching up to chapter 15, and I promise to get there in just a minute. Jesus catches up and he commands his disciples, find a man with a pitcher of water. Boy, I'm glad one day I found a man with a pitcher of water that led me to the upper room. But he says one day, he said, I want y'all to go ahead and go. We're going to leave the garden. If you find the man with the pitcher of water, and he's going to show you the upper room, and go ahead and prepare the table that we may have the Passover together. This is the time of the week that we're in. The Bible says that evening he met with the 12 and did eat as Jesus begins to explain, hey boys, one of you that eateth with me is surely going to deny me. One of you that eateth with me is surely going to betray me. And they with fear begin to say to him, is it I, Lord, is it I? And John says, I know it ain't me. You better go ask somebody else. But they all begin to say, is it I, is it I? Boy, what another entire message, but what another thing. Nobody said, I bet it's Judas. I bet he's the one that's going to betray Jesus. You know why? He had it all figured out, buddy. He knew how to wear the necktie. He knew how to tie up his shoelaces just right and tuck them in his shoes. He knew how to put his suit on and comb his hair. He had it all down pat. He had it figured out. He had the game played just right. But the sad reality is today, there's a bunch of Judases. They're going to sit on a pew, And they're going to sit and listen to gospel preaching. They're going to sit and listen to the heritage that they have and all these things. And they know how to wear the dresses and they know how to put the tie on. They know how to comb their hair. But man, they're a Judas. And you don't know it. And they can fake it till they make it all they want with us. But guess what? Jesus knew. And Jesus still knows today. Judas tried to fake it till he made it. But the Lord knew. You may have people today may think they have everyone fooled. But Jesus knows. And it would be better for that man, Jesus said, to have never been born than to know Jesus in all His power and all His might and still turn his back on Him. Woe unto him, the Bible says. Woe unto him. And as Jesus began to observe the Passover, all right, in just a couple verses back, they said, and He says, take this cup and the communion that we're coming to this Sunday, He says, take this cup and drink. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. I can see the Lord sitting there as He tells him this, and as He's beginning to break the bread and take this cup and eat, this is my body, the sacrifice. I can see the Lord kind of sitting back, watching them and observing them as they took the bread. Can't you imagine? I'm glad I'm not the Lord, because can't you imagine Him looking over and seeing Judas eat of His bread? And as Jesus, broken inside, said, this is my body, doing remembrance. And He begins to take that bread. Can't you imagine? Well, what a Savior that could sit back and still love somebody like that. Hold on. Oh, what a Savior that could sit back and still love somebody like me. But as He sat there and He watched Judas take of the bread, that body, He sat there and He watched Judas take of the juice, of the blood. And He sat back and watched that and you think, man, you had it all right in front of you. Man, you had the example. You had Jesus Christ right in front of you. Oh, you played the game. As y'all know, Judas plays the game until he can't play no more. All right, but Judas sitting back, partaking with the Lord. And I can imagine as he sits there, I can see the Lord as he's there and he tells him, hey, y'all about to be offended and scatter before the night's over with. In low gap terms, Pilot Mountain terminology. I'm about to offend you. And the disciples, guess what? You're going to start scattering after the things I'm about to tell you. And Jesus sits back and says, Peter, in normal fashion, the Lord says, you're going to deny me thrice before the night's over with. And Peter says, not I, Lord. I'm not like the rest of these pansies. Not I. Lord, I'll go with you to the very end. And Jesus says, Peter, I trust your heart. And I know you mean well, but for the cock crow, you'll deny me three times. Peter says, no way, Lord. I promise you I'll go with you. Aren't you thankful tonight we have a Savior? That even in my good merit of, Lord, I don't want to sin against you, but I fall flat on my face. And God says, I know you mean well. Hey, that blood that we're about to get to, that blood is going to take care of you. And I have to crawl back and ask Him to forgive me. I think He knew Peter meant well. I think we're going to find out in here just a minute, Peter did mean business. Just a second, you'll see Peter did mean business. Peter said, no, Lord, not I. And He says, I will die before I deny you. And likewise, they all said, the Bible says. But shortly after, Jesus takes this group from that upper room and moves over to the Garden of Gethsemane. And they're traveling Palm Sunday. And when we're up Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, as we sit here Wednesday night, right? As we have these days, moves them over to the Garden of Gethsemane and says, watch and pray. And Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and they went just a little further with Him. And He says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Watch and pray. And as Jesus bows, we all know the prayer of the garden, as Jesus bows, He begins to cry, Abba, Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. And thank God it did not stop there. Because if God would have granted that request, there'd be no reason for us to sit here tonight. But He said, Abba, Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. And this is what so many people in today's time have trouble with. But if not, or nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. Well, thank God there's a nevertheless there tonight for each and every one of us as we sit. If He just said, God, take this cup, because you know He was a man. He was in agony. He was in pain. The Bible says He's about to sweat His great drops of blood. And as He sits up there, and you know if He could, but He knew He couldn't. He was as a lamb led unto the slaughter. He knew He couldn't. And He said, Lord, not my will. But Thine be done. Thine be done. As Jesus bows, As he gets back up, Jesus says, I know the hour has come. And immediately when he spake, Judas shows up to betray him, saying, Master, Master, boy, what's some gall? What's some gall? First you've took of the bread, that's signifying Jesus' body, and you've drink of the juice, which signifies the blood of Christ. But now you're going to show up with a host of cowards to a garden in the dark and say, Master, Master, and kiss the Lord. And now the Bible says that they laid hands on him and took him as he kissed him. But Peter said, not today, Satan. Let me tell you, buddy, he skinned that smoke wagon. He took that sword and he wasn't aiming for no ear. I firmly believe he was looking for Malchus's head. And as he took that sword, Peter was a little off. And he probably put all he had into it, and all he got was an ear. Can you imagine standing in the garden that day as there's only one man, because there were 12 disciples getting Judas standing there, but only one man had the guts to draw that sword and say, uh-uh. Boy, Peter loved Jesus. I believe Peter loved Jesus, and he proves it here. It wasn't Peter's. Peter didn't, in his heart, didn't want to fail the Lord Jesus. He sure didn't. But as he drew that sword, can you imagine being there and seeing his ear come off and hit the ground, and Malchus is probably screaming, and there's probably mass chaos and pandemonium in the guard, and Jesus probably never moved. And he said, yeah, that's Peter. And he picks up Malchus's ear and just, that's some instant Band-Aid. Jesus heals him. And can you imagine the people? How could Malchus not realize what had just happened? How could the chief priests and the scribes and the ones that had just came to take him away and bind him, the man just put his ear back on? How can they not realize? How are they? Do they still wish to crucify and to bind my Jesus? What, does it make sense, does it? Doesn't make sense. But he knew, not my will, but thine be done. He picks that ear and he slaps it back on Malchus's head, and he says again, you know what happens next? Jesus is brought before the high priest and the Sanhedrin and questioned him to the fullest, yet he opened not his mouth. They begin to cover his face and they begin to strike him and say, hey, if you're really Jesus, which one of us hit you? And they do that over and over and over again. Boy, they begin to mock him and they begin to blaspheme him. And they spit in his face, and it was blasphemy and blasphemy. And they all wanted to see him dead. The one that simply came to do good. Came to do good. And they mock him. Peter, during all this, is trying his best to get as close as he can to kind of see or kind of hear what's going on. And he doesn't wipe the blood back off his sword because Jesus won't let him play take your head off today. So he's put his sword back up and he's trying to look. He's trying to get close. He's trying to see. And I want to be in there with him. Peter was scared. And you see it as he comes back, and Peter says, I'm not going to leave. I don't want to leave. I can't get too far. But as he got up there with him, Peter's trying to hide. He's trying to get close enough to maybe hear what's happening, see what's happening. And then before he knows it, he finds himself around a campfire cussing and swearing. And he begins to immediately remember the words of the Lord. And as that cock crew, I believe Peter went off and wept bitterly, the Bible says. Peter lamented. Peter realized, oh, my Lord, I've denied my Jesus. I believe as he made eye contact with Jesus, boy, that's got to be such an awful, awful feeling that swept over Peter. The Bible says he wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. The start of chapter 15, Jesus is bound, as we read, and delivered to Pilate, who, by the way, could find no fault in him, but he was willing not only not to make a personal decision on Jesus, but to push him off on somebody else as their problem. Push him off on the problem of the crowd in order to release Barabbas and to give up Jesus to a crowd to crucify him. Can you imagine the thoughts that were in Jesus' mind during this time? As he's standing there before Pilate, he says, I've done nothing wrong. The Bible says he's man. He's flesh. He had thoughts and actions just as us. I can imagine how I'm feeling. Can you imagine as he stood before Pilate and he's there and he's bound and he said, man, they're beating me. And I'm about to die for them. Man, they're beating me. They don't even know me. And if they would only give me a chance to truly know me, I just want a relationship with them. I just want to know them personally. I just want to be able to help them. And as Jesus stands there and Pilate even steps back and says, what's wrong with y'all? I can't find a thing wrong that he's done. Why do y'all hate this man so much? In that, you rather release a murderer back into the streets and let a master go to a hill. And we all know why he had to do it. But obviously, it had to not make sense to somebody. Didn't make sense to Pilate. He was confused as he stood there before Jesus. All the thoughts that were going through Jesus' mind. You say, were they thoughts of pain? You think there were thoughts of scaredness? Or was it maybe anger kindled? I don't know, but I don't think there were those thoughts. You know what I think those thoughts were? As they sit there and they put that covering over his face and they beat him and they hit him and said, which one of us did? I think, boy, I'm going to look down through the portals of time and say, boy, I love Amazing Grace Baptist Church. And as they begin to hit him again, they begin to look back and I say, I think Jesus began to remember, boy, I love the Holder family. I think as he took another lashing and as they said, we're going to beat him and we're going to scourge him and we're going to try to hurt him. I think as those things begin to go, I say, boy, I love that youth group down through the days. Boy, I love that family. I love Brother Aaron and his family. Hey, one day Nicholas is going to be called to preach. Boy, I love Nicholas. I think those were the thoughts that went over and over and over as Jesus was being beat. Every time the whip cracked on the back of the Son of God, he cried, I simply love you. Every time that a Roman cat of nine tails was wrapped around his body and the flesh, and as they begin to jerk it back, I'm thinking, oh, I surely do love y'all. Hey, if that's me, the love is the last thing that's going through my mind. Vengeance is what's going through my anger. Figuring out how I can get that whip out of that man's hand and turn it over on him. That's me. But thank God he had a Jesus who only knew love during a time to where, oh man, laying down his life willingly. Hey, that's not me today. That's not, and that really, that ain't you. That ain't you. Boy, what a Savior. As that whip hit him each and every time, pulling flesh from his bones, Jesus cried, I sure do want to have a relationship with you someday. As they led him away and they stripped off his clothes and they replaced it with a purple robe, the Bible said, and they platted that crown of thorns upon his head. And they begin to step back and mock him and salute him as, all right, here's the King of the Jews. Here's your crown, buddy. You get to mock him. Oh, I can imagine, I can tell you, the thoughts are going through my mind ain't love. But Jesus sat back and said, y'all don't understand. You will one day maybe, but y'all don't understand. It's okay for now. Boy, what a Savior. What a Savior. Watch the Lamb. Watch the Lamb. I could see as they mocked him and they scorned him. They pretended to bow before him like he was a fake king. The Bible says in verse 20, and when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. But verse 21 is where I want to sit down with you for just a few minutes and we'll be done. I want us to look at verse 21. I've tried to lay the foundation of the groundwork. As Brother Rudy said, probably laid $1 million foundation to put a $10 house on it here, but it'll be okay. The teenagers are used to it. As I try to lay this back, and you know the story, and you know where we at on a Wednesday night, and you know, hey, from Palm Sunday, and now we sit here on Wednesday, and we know what's coming on Sunday, but guess what? There was a Friday. And I want us to remember and watch the Lamb. I want us to watch the Lamb. Look at verse 21. Chapter 15 of verse 21 says, and they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. You know, Simon probably thought, this is just going to be another week. As he woke up on Palm Sunday morning, he probably thought, you know what? I'm going to start making my way towards Jerusalem. And I know the Passover's coming, so let me get the boys ready. He said, was the boys with him? Mark mentioned them. So they're probably right behind him somewhere. And he obviously mentioned him enough to where Mark's readers knew who Alexander and Rufus were. So he said, I'm probably going to get the boys ready. And I'm going to get them up and I'm going to get them going. And we're going to make our passes and get ready for this Passover. And as the boys went with him and they got their stuff ready, I could see Simon getting all his stuff together. And he said, boys, there's one thing. We go to this Passover, just as in time of old, I want to tell y'all the story. I want to tell you why we do what we do. Hey, guess what, young people, old people, all in between? It's important to be able to tell somebody the why you do what you do. If you can't explain the why, then why are we doing it? There, exactly. So it's important to take this Bible and tell. So begin to tell, hey, this is the why of the Passover. Son, I want to tell you about Abraham and Isaac, and I want to tell you about Joseph, and I want to tell you all down through the line. He said, and then the children of Israel were in bondage, and they were slaves to Egypt, but God delivered us, and we had the Passover, and the death angel showed up. And I can see Simon telling his two boys here, hey, this is the story. This is where we came from. This is what God's brought us out of. And guess what? We're going to have a good time this week. We're going to rejoice this week. We're going to go down to Jerusalem, and we'll see a bunch of people. Oh, hey, boys, but don't forget the lamb. As we get up there, we'll make a sacrifice to our Lord. Don't forget the lamb. And boys, when we get up into these areas, it's going to be a little bit of a hike for us. I want you to watch the lamb. That's your only job. And I can see Simon as he began to come through, and he gets closer, and obviously somebody's taught him the journey, right? He's got to get over there. So he's probably remembering and reminiscing on them other times, all right, that he had been to the journey, through into Jerusalem. And he's got his boys with him now. And I can see as they're getting closer, he says, hey, boys, just as any parent would or grandparents, hey, boys, look up in yonder. There she is. There's the city. And you can kind of hear it from here, can't you, boys? Yeah, Dad, yeah. We're kicking rocks and watching the lamb, because that's what Daddy said to do. But as he gets a little bit closer, I can imagine that Simon says, this is not the same music. I don't hear the heavenly songs, and I don't hear the choir, and there's no rejoicing. And I called Mama on the phone the other day, and I'm pretty sure they was breaking palm trees and laying garments, and Jesus was around here somewhere. But this does not sound like a pleasant place to be right now. And I can see that is maybe Simon's getting a little bit nervous, because the Bible says he's just crossing through. He's passing through this country. Maybe he's getting a little bit nervous, like, I've got the boys with me now, and I didn't bring bring the Glock, protect the flock. So he's like, I don't got that with me, and maybe I just need to take this route. I can imagine he's starting to hear some things. And he says, boys, and I'm going to warn you now, we're growing into the city here, and there's going to be a lot of people, all right? And you're going to see a bunch of things you've probably never seen before, and you're going to hear things, and they're going to be shouting, hey, Jesus is around here somewhere. So stay close to me, but boys, watch the lamb. It is pertinent that you don't let the lamb get away. If our lamb's gone, we can't make a sacrifice, and I ain't walking all the way back to the house for another lamb. Boys, watch the lamb. And I can see him as he comes into the city, and he says, I can't tell the boys, but something's bad wrong up in here. Something's not right. There's no joyful anything going on. I hear shouts. I hear cries. I hear angry mobs. I hear angry people. And I can see as he's maybe walking down the sides of the streets, he begins to think, something's bad wrong. And all of a sudden he hears, crucify. He's like, that's definitely not Passover lingo. Mama never taught me that one. And everybody heard he get crucified. I thought, man, somebody's mad. Maybe as he peered through the cities and through the buildings, he'd kind of see, he said, all right, well, there looks like maybe two bad guys. And somebody's mad at him for something they've done. And he could probably, as he got closer to that city, he's beginning to hear. And now I'm sure that his boys are beginning to pay attention. They got that lamb wrapped up because that's their sacrifice. And they come back through and say, something's not right. Something's not right. And he hears again, crucify him. This is bad. This has turned bad. And as he goes down through, and I can say to the boys, you watch that lamb. I'm going to try to get us through this crowd and through this people. And all of a sudden, I can hear the crowd once again, crucify him, crucify him. And I can hear one of them trying to plead in mercy. And he says, this one's telling me he's a thief. And he can hear this in a distance. And said, that one's trying to repent, but this crowd's not having it. And I can hear another one maybe say, well, I'm slowly picking up on there's two thieves now. All right, and that other one's mad. He hates everybody. He's mad. He don't like nobody here. And I hear that one, and all of a sudden, as he's trying to make his way through, probably with his sons, they're through. All the husbands, I hear a little lady, maybe to the side of him, say, wait a minute. There's Jesus. I see Simon say, wait, what, Jesus? And as he turns, can you imagine as he sees Jesus? as he's the two malefactors that are with him, the two thieves that begin to walk up towards the hill, towards Golgotha, the place of the skull. I can see him and he said, "What? Jesus? That don't even look like a man." And you see, I can tell the thief, and that's the thief, but ain't no way that's Jesus. I see him as he's passing through, and he's kind of already forgotten. Time's kind of sitting still now. He's forgotten the boys are maybe with him, and he's sitting in there, and he says, no way that's Jesus. And he begins to cry. I believe he hears that whip hitting over and over and over. And he said, "Let's go." As they're leading, the Romans lead them two thieves, and they leave Jesus. I hear that whip hitting, and he's probably, this is not making sense. Jesus? Why does he see Jesus like this? The Bible talks about his visage was so marred that hardly tell he was a man. And as he's getting closer, Simon's just passing through. I'm just trying to get through, man. All of a sudden, he gets a little bit closer, and I believe he kind of freezes. Maybe as he gets a little closer, that Roman soldier, he's done blanked out because he cannot believe what's in front of him, how they've beaten him, how battered he is, and how bruised he is, and how the flesh is protruding off his body. And all of a sudden, the Roman soldier says, "You, come here." And he kind of maybe snaps out of it and he says, "You, pick up the cross." And so I said, "Oh, I ain't touching that." And he said, "I didn't ask, pick up the cross." And as Jesus has collapsed and he's under that weight, Simon says, "Okay." Probably under perjury of you're going to lose your head if you don't pick a cross up. I can imagine that Simon kind of walks over to it and says, "Just pick it up and pick up the cross." And they asked him to bear the cross, and as he bends over, I can see him put that on him, and golly, this is heavy. Ain't no way. And as he see the marred visage of our Lord and Savior underneath that cross, hey, them Romans wasn't going to pick it up. Them soldiers wasn't going to pick it up. They said, "Come here, boy, you pick it up." Picks up that cross, and he's got it, and they're headed up to Golgotha. They're headed up to Calvary. I can imagine as Simon's carrying that cross, that blood, he says, "I didn't think I'm sweating this bad." That blood that was from the crown of thorns had been placed on Jesus begins to run down the side of Simon's face. And as he got that cross, I could see him carrying it and maybe wipes up. He says, "Lord have mercy, that's blood." He begins to remember, wait a minute, Jesus was carrying this cross. This is not my blood. This is Jesus' blood. Boy, can you imagine the thoughts that run through his head during this time, Jesus' blood. As he walks around, imagine as they get to Golgotha, he lays that cross down. And you know the rest of the story. The Bible says they lay him down. They begin to nail him. They begin to nail him to that cross. They put them nails in his hands and in his feet. Simon probably steps back and loses complete trace and track of time. Thinking, this is Jesus' blood. It's on my hands. It's on my shoulders. That's the cross that I just carried. And that's him. And I can see as Jesus willingly lays his body down to drive them nails. They begin to erect that cross. Boom! Down in the hole they've made. I can see Jesus maybe looking up. Or Simon maybe looking up at Jesus. And as he meets those eyes, if it was looking at any other man, it'd probably be wrath. It'd probably be anger. You probably know it would be anguish. It's just man just taking a beating. He couldn't even finish his journey. I had to help him along. I can imagine as he looks up, meets the eyes of Jesus. Why, he says, "I've never seen so much love in the eyes of a man." And he looks down at that blood and he says, "Well, I've never seen so much love." And he looks at Jesus' eyes again and says, "I don't understand." Simon didn't realize that he just met Jesus on his road to Calvary. Begin to look at, I can imagine them boys begin to come back to him, tap him on the shoulder and say, "Father, please forgive us." And he's still trying to figure out what's going on. "Daddy, will you please forgive us? Daddy, the lamb ran away." As Jesus directed on that cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And I can imagine he scoops his boys up and says, "Son, I just heard something rent in the temple. I told you to watch the lamb. But son, right there's the lamb. Right there's the Savior. Right there's the sacrifice. Boys, watch the lamb." I wonder how many times in our life Jesus, all right, has tried to say, "I just want to have a relationship. I just want to love you. I just want to be a part of your life. And we say, nah, don't want to watch the Lamb today. I want to do what I want to do today. I want to go where I want to go today. I want to be what I want to be today. And the whole time, he was just trying to get them to watch the Lamb. Well, there was a lamb that was slain and brought to the slaughter. And our Jesus laying his life down. And I'm thankful that Sunday's coming. I'm thankful that as he didn't just stay on that cross and die, and we serve a dead God, or it's one that we can't talk to. But as Jesus paid that ultimate sacrifice and that veil is rent in the temple, the veil is gone, it means you and I can have direct access to that Lamb. And when that blood is applied to our life, we can talk to a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords like no other. I encourage you tonight, watch the Lamb. Hey, the rest of this week, watch the Lamb. Whereas till we get to Easter, remember the Lamb. If I gave him a simple task, just watch the sacrifice, boys. Just to keep your eyes on that. It'll be okay. And they did. But the whole picture was, Lord, the Lamb that was slain for the sins of many. Watch the Lamb. Well, Stan, will you come start playing? Tonight I just want to remind you, there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. If there's one thing I try to teach our young people, it's watch the Lamb. If there's one thing is I try to tell them, you know what's going to help you in life? You keep your eyes on Christ. You keep your eyes on Jesus. Guess what? This is a mean and a cruel and a nasty world that we live in. Watch the Lamb. I remember what Christ has done for us. Watch the Lamb. Remember how the beating that he took? He was bruised for our iniquities. All right, he was beaten and battered so that we could have an advocate with that Father, with our Father. Watch the Lamb. Boy, do we just need to call some things to remembrance. Recall what the Lamb's done for us, how he willingly gave that sacrifice. And if we would ever truly get a hold of that tonight, well, we'd live our lives different. I'd live my life different. I'd act different, think different. Walk. Hey, we'd just be different. You know why? That's our reasonable service to that Lamb who was slain. Watch the Lamb. Remember the Lamb. Let's bow our heads. This altar's open. This altar's open tonight. What will you do with the Lamb? Pilate said, I'm not going to make a decision. I'm going to push it off. I'll let somebody else see what they want to do with the Lamb. They can have it. What will you do with the Lamb? As we stand tonight, what will you do with the Lamb? What will you do with the Lamb? I'm thankful there's a nevertheless in that when he prayed, not my will, but thine be done. He could have laid it down a lot sooner. And if it was myself, I probably would have laid it down a lot sooner. But there's a thrice holy God who just wants to be part of our lives. Watch the Lamb. I also thank the Lord for that empty tomb. We get to celebrate this upcoming Sunday, and all over the world, boy, what an opportunity to share Christ with those who ain't never even seen the Lamb, much less heard of him. Watch the Lamb. Watch the Lamb. Father, Lord.